Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
So that was question one. How will God renew his blessing upon humanity? I'll stop moving. And second question that I think we might have as we're entering Genesis 12. So God created everything good, and then after the fall, curses go all around. There are curses to man, curses to the woman, and then a curse to the snake that also includes a blessing for humanity. If you look in Genesis 3:15, God says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And so the question going in since then is, who will this offspring be? So we're in chapter 3. The very next chapter begins with Adam knew Eve. She bore a son, Cain. Will this be the offspring to crush Satan? Apparently not. As we see that Cain kills his brother, and it seems that the line changes. It's going to be through Seth, and then through Noah, and then through Shem. And as we get to chapter 12, we can think, well, who will the next person be? And then so we get into our section in Genesis 11, 27, and 32. We begin with, these are the generations of Terah. And 11, 27 to 32 gives us background information that will be useful for the whole section and then for Genesis. I'm just going to highlight one piece of information in Genesis 11, verse 30. Sarah was barren. That's all we need for today. But the rest of the information can be used at a future date. And so we begin reading our text. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So essentially, the outline of this passage is super simple. One commandment, six promises and blessings. The commandment, go from your nation and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And the six promises, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And finally, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So what we're going to do for the rest of our time, we're going to see what do these verses mean in their context, number one. Two, how these verses work themselves out in this section and the rest of the Bible, how they find their fulfillment in Christ. And ultimately, so what about me? How does this affect my life? So the commandment, go. God doesn't tell Abraham exactly, or I should say Abram. If I say Abraham, just know I mean Abram. He tells Abram, go, but not exactly where to go. So ultimately what he's asking him is, trust me. The commandment is, trust me. And it's kind of interesting, given that the story just before with the Tower of Babel, the commandment was fill the earth, and they did the exact opposite. So now he's telling Abraham, go. This first promise, a great nation, and the background information I highlighted was Sarah was barren. So God promises a great nation. We know Sarah's barren. How's this going to happen? I think it is a legitimate question we might have. God promises to bless Abram. So I see this as he will show him favor from our standpoint. It's probably a holistic blessing. It will concern all areas of life, good health, long life, material possessions, and many children, as far as we're concerned for the moment. A great name again, given the Tower of Babel incident, where people went out to make a great name for themselves, and God shows up and makes that impossible. Here we see that having a great name isn't something God is against, but rather He is the one who gives a great name. And it will only be obtained when you don't go getting it for yourself, but when it comes as a gift from God. So the next one, so that you will be a blessing. This is kind of the whole point of the message, is go and you will be a blessing. So your translations have so that you'll be a blessing. In Hebrew, it's a command, be a blessing. And so you're probably wondering, so why did they translate so that you'll be a blessing? So there's a rule in Hebrew, when you have two commands, if one seems to be dependent on the first, the second one is just the result. If you do go, you will be a blessing. If you don't go, no blessing at all. So when you do read, so that you will be a blessing, it's really, it's a correct translation, but I just want to highlight that it's where it comes from. And then the fifth one is Abraham is the dividing line. So apparently you will be dealt with according to how you treat Abraham. If you bless him, you'll be blessed. If you curse him, you'll be cursed. And then in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So far we had go, so that you'll be a blessing, but that's still pretty vague. And here we have the content of that blessing. It will affect all of humanity. So to answer those two questions we might have from Genesis 1 to 11, how will God renew His blessing upon humanity? He does it in Abraham. And concerning the second question, who will be the offspring to crush Satan? I don't know how far we can go with that already, but if you were to say it will happen in Abraham, you might be onto something, given the rest of Scripture. So that was the first part, just looking at these verses in themselves, given what was said before, and just looking at using a bit of Hebrew grammar and the background information. So now, how do these verses work themselves out in the text, in the Bible? So he was told to go. If you look at verse 4 of Genesis 12, he goes. And in verse 7, God promises to give the promised land to his offspring. If you keep reading in Genesis 12, Abraham goes to Egypt. And we'll see there that though he went, he wasn't necessarily a blessing to those people. If we connect going to him trusting God, we see that he really did not trust God when he went to Egypt. He looked to his wife and said, hey, you're a beautiful woman, and just say you're my sister so they won't kill me instead, and it will be done well for me based upon what you do. So essentially, humanity was meant to be blessed in Abraham. He's asking his wife, take my place so that I might be blessed on account of you. So, and so Abraham is scared. He puts his wife in danger. And ultimately, the people of Egypt are cursed. So Abraham, by not trusting God, did not bless the people he went to, but brought upon a curse. And you have, you know, in the Bible, the king of Egypt, the ultimate bad guy, calling Abraham, the father of the faith, a liar. So just to show that it's not just one way with Abraham. He does do well, he's obedient, and there's blessing, but also he lacks faith, and curses come about. And we see that in our own lives, ultimately. When we don't trust God, people get hurt. The second, the promise of a great nation. This section, these are the generations of Terah, is the outworking of how is God going to secure Abraham's offspring. So if you read, who will this heir be? Abraham was meant to leave his family, and yet Lot sticks around. So is God going to work through Lot? Apparently not. Twice he tries to get rid of his wife. First with the Egyptians, he gives his wife away. And then in chapter 20, similar story. So we wonder, maybe he's going to have his offspring through another woman. And again, faithlessly, he sleeps with his wife's servant and has another child. Is that his other pitiful and faithless way of trying to make that promise of a great nation happen? But ultimately, God is faithful, and we'll see in 2 weeks when we get there that he does produce the heir, and there will be a great nation through Isaac. The second promise, God's blessing Abraham. If you read in Genesis 24, verse 1, Abraham is sending his servant to go get a wife for Isaac, and the servant says, praising God that he has blessed his master in every way. So ultimately, I see that as fulfilled in a way. Make your name great. So Abram's name goes from Abram to Abraham, father of a multitude of nations. I was just randomly thinking, I didn't write this there, but is that already a hint of the inclusion of the Gentiles? He won't just be the father of one nation, but of a multitude of nations, perhaps. And the other thing is, if I tell any one of you in 3,000 years a sermon will be preached about you, let's just say your name was probably made great before then, which is what we're doing. And then Abraham being the dividing line, we'll see that the people who bless Abraham and his offspring, who bless Israel, and ultimately those who bless Jesus Christ will be blessed. Abraham is called to be the dividing line, but ultimately today, where you stand on whether you bless Jesus or curse Jesus, that's where your fate will be sealed. So I did say that the people who chose not to come to church today probably did hear what the topic was about and already went in order to be a blessing. But those of you who are here, we did bless Jesus, the seed of Abraham, today. And I think in this text there is a blessing promise tied to blessing Abraham, blessing his seed, Jesus. So don't feel bad for being here. So now, how does this text apply to us? Because you can easily say, okay, Abraham, go. Therefore, I must go. But my name's not Abraham. And I don't know if any one of you guys, probably not. So how do we apply a text like this that seems so specific to a person named Abraham? I think if we look at this commandment in light of Scripture, we see that right from the beginning, God is about his image bearers being fruitful, multiplying, and filling the earth. Abram's call is different. He's going to go to the promised land, and God is going to work through him personally to bless humanity. But already, as soon as we read about the next generation, God repeats that blessing to his offspring. And also tied to this promise, there's a great nation. So we see that there's more than just Abraham in view here. And ultimately, Christ has his call to go from his throne in heaven, come down, and to be the fulfillment of that blessing upon all of humanity. So when we read that in Abraham, all of the families of the earth will be blessed, we're included in all of the families. So in Abraham, we will be blessed, and ultimately that happens in Christ. And part of that blessing includes us being brought in Christ, being brought in that way in Abraham. And so now in us, all of the nations will be blessed. In Christian traditions, we call that the Great Commission. Go, be a blessing, make disciples of all nations. Because in Christ, we are part of that seed. We are part of being in Abraham. So in a way, I think biblically, that's how I'd apply it to us today. So I hope you're convinced that Abraham was told to go, and going would make him a blessing, and we are now included in that as we are brought in Christ, as we were on the reception end of the blessing, and now we're going to be agents of blessing. So go, and you will be a blessing. But what does go mean exactly for us? Not long ago, I was at a wedding. I went up to the father of the bride, and I told him, congratulations. And after I asked him, does it make sense that I'm saying, telling you congratulations? He said, a few people have told me that, and I've been thinking about what that means, because I didn't really do anything. I was just there. And I told him, what if that's it? What if being there is what you did? And so, in a way, I think part of go, in order that you might be a blessing, is when you go somewhere, don't just go and be physically present. Be present, engaging with people, interacting with them. So go and be present where you are, and you will be a blessing, number one. Number two, I knew a man who was telling me about how him and his wife were doing language classes. They were learning Arabic so that they might be missionaries in the Arab-speaking world. Then they had their first daughter, severely handicapped. She's now 18 years old, can't speak, can't walk. She's been close to death many times. But her parents decided that it would be best for them to stay in the Western world where medical resources were more freely available. But her dad told me that since then he's been placed in so many situations where uniquely, as opposed to us who don't have handicapped children, he's been placed in situations where he's interacted with people that none of us would have the opportunity to. And so I would just say, go, find out who are the people in your lives that you might be the only Christian in their lives, and how can you interact with them, and in order to go be with them and be a blessing. Francis Chan, a famous Christian pastor and author, wrote a book called Crazy Love. His wife and he, for their 20th anniversary last year, decided to go spend a week or two in East Africa. This is how they spent their anniversary, and just serve with a ministry and help those in need. And so I'm not saying don't ever have vacations, but my point is there are no limits to what you can do in order to go and be a blessing. I don't know what number I'm at. But now I want to discuss short-term missions for a little bit. I've struggled with that concept a little bit. And a pastor, David Platt, he's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he's on their International Mission Board president. He was asked, so you keep going on mission trips, but wouldn't it be better just to send the money and like not waste it on airfares? And so on one of his short-term missions, he asked a few people, so what do you think about that? Do you want me to just send the money, or do you want me to keep coming? And they begged him to keep coming. And ultimately what he said was, God didn't just send us salvation, he sent a person. And in that same way, even if you're doing a short-term mission, you're going as a person. You're not just sending your money. You're physically there. And so he kind of made that little analogy. And I thought it was interesting to hear the perspective of those receiving the missionaries. They're like, no, we really want you to keep coming. The encouragement is, don't just send your money, go, and even you will be a blessing. Another point is, we can't all be long-term missionaries, and so the idea of sending people out and supporting them, and I know this church does that. But I also want to say, there are never limits to how far we can go, and so keep doing more is my exhortation, not my recommendation. And finally, the idea of church, ekklesia, the Greek word is the calling out of. It was a military term, so people were called out from whatever they were doing to gather. But the only reason they were called in was in order that they might go back out. And so I just want to say, as we've been gathered here today, when you leave today, go and be a blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Abraham's call. We thank you that you've been in the business from the very beginning to bless all of humanity. We thank you that we've been on the receiving end, being part of all the families of the earth. And we thank you that in Christ you've included us in him and in Abraham. And now that by your mercy we get to be co-workers with you in your great vision to bless all the families of the earth. Father, I just pray that with the various applications I mentioned, that at least one would be relevant for each person in this room, and two, that we would not feel condemned or just overwhelmed with this command, but that we would experience you meeting us with our needs and providing everything that we need to obey your commandments. Father, we thank you for the gift that you've given us in Christ, that though we were hostile in mind, practicing evil deeds, you sent your Son to reconcile us back to you. And we have this joy that we have of knowing you. And I pray that it is out of this joy that we will want to trust you and be obedient to go, whatever form that will look like. And as you've promised, we will be a blessing. Pray all these things for your glory. Pray in your Son's name. Amen.